Mohandram life was soon to be shattered. We had thought we were staying in Robert Barracks for the rest of the war, but suddenly the Japs said that we'd all have to move to Changi Jail, from which all the civilians had been moved. This was a small jail meant to hold 600 native prisoners. It was situated about 2 miles down the road. As I mentioned earlier, the Changi clock was part of our lives. We anxious glances were directed at it from time to time to see if we could still read the time, which was just possible if your eyes were good. Anyway, the Japs said we would have to move within 2 weeks. We would have to somehow fit into Changi Jail, taking with us all our sick, everybody, all those who were in hospital, and they had a fair-sized hospital in Changi. Everything, everybody had to move within 2 weeks, and they would provide one ambulance to assist with the removal of the sick. The rest of us would have to get there by walking and carrying our gear. I'm sure they thought that our leaders would have flung themselves on their knees and begged for 2 months, and said it was impossible to move in the time of 2 weeks. But fortunately, they were made of sterner stuff than Colonel Cappy. There must have been some good administrators among them, and the engineers proved themselves absolutely brilliant in organising the erection of the many huts outside the jail walls, the reticulation of water, and the extension of the sewerage outside the walls. Because all this area was a sewered area, and this area, that first Changi, was more correctly called Selarang, but the whole area was part of a district of Changi. It's a Changi village until the Japs ploughed it into the ground, bulldozed it in with a great deal of loss of life. Anyway, we bet the direction of the engineers, and I suppose imbued the sense of pride and determination in making the best of things, we spent those 2 weeks slaving. It became a matter of pride how many trailer parties we tackled each day. Also, the Japs tossed in one extra truck, or it may have been an ambulance, I forget. We had two motored vehicles. And we set to work under the direction again of the engineers, tearing up everything that could be moved from the old camp, the old barracks. Water pipes were taken up, concrete paving stones were pulled down. Every hut that could be removed was dismantled. Great attention being paid to trying to save nails and wire, because they were going to be needed in re-erecting them. All the little factories that were there, one for example, making yeast for the sick, all the hospital equipment, the theatre gear, all the kitchen gear, of course, and all anything that was of any use whatsoever was pulled down, put onto trailers, and taken over. And their order was created out of chaos by the engineers and those to whom they gave instructions. We dumped the stuff on the ground around the grim grey walls of Changi, and gradually the buildings, the new huts, were erected. They, of course, were made of very light materials, and the roofs were attap, or the palm leaf material, which we had up on the railway, and, of course, the native huts are all native houses are made that way, too. The galvanized piping were again laid in the ground. The sewerage outlets were extended so that, I suppose, to every few hundred men, there were several new sewage pedestals placed in, but the greatest contribution to hygiene there was what we call boreholes, which were drilled down with augers built by the prisoners, like a huge post hole diggers. I suppose they were 12 inches in diameter, and they went down until they got to the water table, which was not, I suppose, 15 feet from the surface. These were very hygienic, and they were built with a wooden frame around them and a lid which fitted snugly, again made by the carpenters, who did a wonderful job in that regard.